This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good afternoon, everyone. And this is Terry Honey here from Couples of Destiny. And we're coming to you today with a wonderful guest, and he's going to be in the studio shortly. I just want to bring our topic to you today. It's talking about marriage without masks, and we're learning about her nature, honoring God's design. And how do we honor God's design when we want to bring forth His glory and His goodness in our lives? You know, many times we want to look at people and start criticizing and try and change them to the way we want them, especially when husbands and wives get married. Then they want to start changing each other. You know, we want to start bringing them into the way we want them to be. But God has set a program aside. He's not a program. He's set a design. He's created couples for such a time as this. And I believe it's an apostolic moment. It's enough time for apostolic couples to arise in that space where husbands walk alongside their wives and the wives alongside their husband. So if you want to learn more about honoring God's design, I would love you to share this broadcast with every friend and every person that you know needs to hear this today. And make sure that you comment and leave us your desires for topics and what you'd like to talk about. But here at Radio K Pulpit, we bring you the truth for what it is, speaking God's word. So we believe marriage is more than a contract. It's a covenant. So let's get into the covenant as we get ready to welcome Dr. Brian in a few minutes. And we're going to focus on her nature, honoring God's design. I want to help you just listen with me today to a song by Bobby van Jaarsveld, and it's called Thank You. And we are right back on time. Couples of Destiny, this is Terry Honey, and in studio with me, I have the young man, the man of God, all the way from, tell us where you're from, Dr. Brian, introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Dr. Brian Adams from Jackson, Ohio in the United States, and I'm back again in what I consider my home away from home, and that's South Africa.
Awesome. Praise God. And we welcome you here today in the studio with us. And I had a conversation with Dr. Brian not so long ago, and we were talking about what we were going to discuss on this, on the radio show today. And with you, family, friends out there, listeners, jump in and just lean in with us here today, you know. And Brian comes with a very beautiful aspect on how to honor women in marriage. Now, honoring God's design, that is basically our topic, our go-to place, marriage without masks, right? And you so beautifully said that today's focus, we were saying that when husbands look and understand his wife's heart and embraces God's blueprint for marriage, something powerful happens. Heaven's order shows up in the home. So like I said, take a deep breath, lean in and listen to what God has to say through this mighty man of God. The thing that I really want to help some of the men with today is men, stop fixing her works and start learning her ways. I love that particular part because marriage is meant for restoration and not control. Brian, Pastor Brown, what is your take on that when you say marriage is meant for restoration and not control?
Well, when God created man, of all the things he created, he looked down and said, good. But when he created man, he didn't look down and say good. He said, he goes, it's not good for him to be alone.
Yeah.
Now, the giraffe, the elephants, nothing was compatible to him. So he created man, what was called a helpmate, not a hurtmate, not a secretary, not a house cleaner, not a slave, a helpmate. Mm-hmm. But cultures creeped in, I believe, to the church today and tried to make it a way to where we can become control freaks and dominate. And actually, Paul says the man, the husband to the wife is to be like Christ is to the church.
That's right. That's right. And so many of us sometimes want to turn that around and turn scripture around. You know, the scripture that you spoke about now is so amazing because in Ephesians 5:25 and to verse 28, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I like that part because it makes her holy. You know, when husbands does that, the word further on says, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And this is so powerful when you said that, you know, I don't think marriage is a DIY project. You know, it's God's masterpiece, because he created this as his design. And as men are so sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit and hearing God and getting into that space of honoring the woman like that, I think the key thing that many marriages fall in, they fall into a trap where they try to change works instead of honoring her ways.
Well, it looks like this. There's an old saying, opposites attract. And she's totally opposite of you, so that attracted you to her. But then there's a saying, after a while, opposites irritate. And once we actually get to cohabitating, living together, now let me give a description on that. Not just living together, what we call in America shacking up, but under the honor and under what's called marriage. Marriage is God's ideal. And it's a covenant. Now, once we get in there, I was born, and I'm a little bit older. I'm 65 years old. Back in America, we were really influenced by TV and movies. And there was an old Western guy named John Wayne. John Wayne era. And in that era, it was like women were to be barefoot and pregnant, stay at home, speak with someone. They were really, really disrespecting it. Even today, in many countries, women don't have the rights that they deserve. And so when I got married, after the attraction left and the irritation started, I was going to like train her. This is what I want. This is what I want you to do. And I'm telling you what, you thought irritation was there before the sparks began to fly. Because a woman is, God has called us to love our wives, not to dominate our wives. Mm-hmm. And you know, many guys want to jump on that. Women, submit to your husband as to the Lord. Well, you know, if you can even try to act like the Lord, maybe it might help her a little bit. So I would try to tell her, do this and that, and things just didn't go right. Then finally, I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there. God said, she's not your hurt mate, she's your helpmate. And when a man feels like he doesn't know something, he begins to get irritated. When things don't seem to get right, he feels less than. So he'll always get aggravated. They'll take it out on the wife and the kids because they're closest to him. Mm-hmm. But if he would really just walk with the Lord, he'd find out what you're short of, the knowledge and wisdom you don't have, your helpmate does.
That's right. That's right.
And when I begin to listen to my wife, not for her to control me, tell me what to do or anything, but when I begin to honor her and serve her, because Christ said, I didn't come to be served, to be waited on hand and foot by the church. I came to serve the church. And when I begin to say, you know what, I'm going to provide for you, make sure you get a nice house, a safe house, drive nice, dress nice. I'm going to be, because the Lord said, you're a leader, Brian. People are watching you. Stand on that scripture where Paul said, it's a mystery. The husband to the wife, like Christ to the church. And he goes, I want them to see how you treat your wife is going to be a prophetic picture of how I'm going to do the church. So that's how you should treat your wife. And, you know, I came up with an idea one time. It seemed like, because we're such different personalities, we would always be all disagreeing. And I'm like, you need to do it my way. And she's like, you need to do it my way. Finally, I told her, I said, this is what we're going to do. I said, I know that my aggravation is not pleasing to the Lord. Because right now, this time in my life, I'm standing on a scripture, John chapter 8, verse 29. He who sent me is with me. He never leaves me, because I always do what's pleasing to him. And all of a sudden I realized, you know what? Being aggravated, sinning in my anger, speaking disrespectful. I think I was sharing with you, there's a teaching that says there's three voices. There's a child's voice, there's an adult voice, and there's a parent voice. Men, we should never speak to our wives as if we're their parent. Demeaning things, speaking down to them. You do what I say, not as I do. Don't ask me why, just do it. And so one day I just sat down with my wife. I said, listen, it seemed like we just got different ideas on everything. And I said, but I actually know that you're very intelligent. And she goes, how do you figure that? And I jokingly said, because you chose me. And once we got past the foolishness there, I said, well, you're a vice president of a bank. You're very intelligent. You're very good administration. And I tried to have you do things the way I want them. From now on, I'm just going to help you become the person God wants you to be. So I said, you go anywhere you want, spend any money you want to do, because I know she was very frugal with money. I was safe to say that. You do anything you want as long as you don't sin against God.
I like that part. You know, don't withhold money. Don't even withhold affection. Don't withhold encouragement. Give freely. She's not less in a sense, you know, and this is what people need to understand, I think, because she's a part of you. The woman is a part of the man as much as, like you said in the beginning, God gave the woman to the man because she's the helpmate. And I like that scripture that you mentioned then in 1 Peter 3, 7 also. The Bible instructs husbands to live with their wives as in an understanding way. And you have managed to do that, to treat her and honor her as the weaker vessel and as fellow heirs of grace of God's grace of life, and so that your prayers are not hindered. I love that scripture so much because I think a lot of men don't realize that this particular scripture is indicative of their walk with God and their success in life and them being significant in their ministry, in their relationship, in the workplace, wherever they go and whatever they do. So I like that point that you mentioned. It's very important, family, that we learn her, men especially, learn her nature, learn what her strengths are, what her rhythm is, and her discernment. You've got to sharpen your discernment to find where she's at and what it is that you can do to improve that relationship. But we're going to go to a short break for a song, and then I want you to hear what Dr. Brian has to say, and I want to saying thank you. I see ladies online saying good afternoon, Dr. B and Prophet Terry. Welcome, Leslie. Nice to have you online. Do share the broadcast and just leave your comment and strength there with us so that we can hear that this is ministering to you. Genesis 2:23 says, Adam, upon seeing the first woman, declares, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for out of man she was taken. Let's listen to Jacques and Liesl singing Moving On. And here we have Dr. Brian Adams with us in the studio. Dr. Brian, you've just celebrated an anniversary, 33 years. I mean, I'm thinking of the scripture, Jeremiah 33, call upon me. Let's call upon you and tell the listeners today how you managed to stay strong for 33 years.
Well, it wasn't 33 years of perfection. I think just like sanctification or your Christian walk, it's all process. Mm-hmm. You have ups and downs. And, you know, the Lord had me write a book called The Power of Forgiveness. So if you're going to have a true marriage and be true, real, and not lying and hiding stuff, you're going to have understand how the power of forgiveness works. I need to forgive her, let it go. She needs to forgive me, let it go when I make mistakes. But eventually, as we mature, we should be making less mistakes, less disrespect to one another. You know, I had to come to a place where I quit trying to get her to be what I wanted and allowed her to be herself, because I thought, you know, I fell in love with her. But, and you know, a lot of guys will joke and say, you know, when you date, you're at your best. And it's like a bait to try to get them, you know. And then some people call it false advertisement. Because once you get married, you're like, oh, this is the real you. But I don't like someone trying to control me, tell me how to drive, how to do this, how to do that. And the woman's not going to like that either. You know, marriage is under attack today. The Bible says in the end days, there'll be covenant breakers. Mm. Now, marriage is a covenant. A walk with God. So backsliding is breaking a covenant. Mm-hmm. Divorce is breaking a covenant. Keeping your word is breaking a covenant. And what a lot of people don't understand is when you, not being led by God, leave a church, you break the covenant with your pastors and with the people in that church. You break a covenant with God by taking your tithes and putting it someone else. So in the last days, there'll be covenant breakers. So what we've got to do is understand that marriage is God's ideal. It is a covenant. Mm-hmm. Marriage reflects Christ and the church. Husbands are to love sacrificially just as Christ loved the church. I want that when my car, or I drive a truck, I want when my truck pulls in the driveway, I don't want her to say, oh my gosh, here he is. I wonder if he's going to be mad. He's going to do this. I want, when I pull in the driveway, even after 33 years, she's going to like, ooh, there's my man, you know. Because when the presence of God comes, I'm like, my Savior. I'm not like, oh, I wonder if God's going to punish me, God's going to do this. I'm excited when the presence of my Master, Christ to the church, should be like the husband to the wife. Are your wives excited when you get home? Mm. Do they honor you? Do they say, oh, man? Now, you know, man was created in God's image. We like to be praised. Now, I'm not talking about worshiping, but wives, if you're listening, you got to do some praise too. Man, I appreciate you. Oh, you're looking good. And man, all that you do. We mustn't forget that the Bible said exhort one another daily. And that can go both ways, to the husbands, to the wife. Your wife gets a new hairdo, you better say something, brother. That's all I got to say. A new dress, you better start paying attention. Because here's the sad thing. You get so busy, you no longer pay attention. The devil will send somebody to pay attention and to exhort.
Mm.
Watch out.
Mm. So true. You know, we speak about the segment here on voices and wounds. And I like what you said about how we need to be so intentional about what we do with each other, you know, and know your partner, know what is right, and know how to honor. Because, you know, with, you know, the lovely book that is out there on he wants love, he wants respect, and she wants love. I think the same thing applies here, you know, in every relationship, you know, respecting and honoring one another, loving each other. And there was something that I remember just looking at how marriages, you know, they fight. Sometimes these fights aren't really adult conversations. They are mostly wounded children being bossy parents talking. And you mentioned something beautiful the other day, and I maybe just want to tap in that into that a little bit, the three voices.
You know, there's three voices. There's the voice of a child, there's a voice of the adult, and there's a voice of the parent. Mm-hmm. And if we speak in a parent-type voice to our mates, then we're speaking to them as if they're children. They're an adult. They have the same right as you have to come and go. They shouldn't be told you can't go here, you can't go there. Now, if it's someplace of sin or something like this, you need to have some serious talks. But to dominate, lock the doors, to control people, that's not wrong.
Mm.
You know, the husbands are to love your wives with gentleness and understanding. Wives are to respect and encourage your husbands. You know, I like to be around people that celebrate me, not people that tolerate me. And so there's going to be times where you're just not going to agree on something. And if it's not like a major deal breaker or something, like she wants to have a boyfriend, you want to have a girlfriend, those things cannot be agreed on. But some things are so small. The Bible actually says the little foxes destroy our grapes. So some things just say, you know what, we're going to agree to disagree. My wife has the idea, she wants to do this, do that. I'm like I like to give my wife money and bless her. Now, and then I started noticing that she wasn't getting anything with this money. So I said, what are you doing with this money I'm giving you? Well, the kids needed this. The grandkids needed this. I'm like, I'm not giving you money to do that. And one day the Lord said, quit stopping her from being the nurturing mother and grandmother that she is. That's your joy and delight. You're enabling her to be who she wants to be. And if you do that, she'll be happy with thee. I almost made that rhyme there.
Sounds like a poem.
Actually, one time I was in prayer. I'm a traveling minister. I said, Lord, I need money for my ministry. He said, give money to your wife. And I said, get away, devil. I'm not talking about my wife. I'm praying. Don't be interrupting me. 3 days I prayed, and all I could hear was give. I felt to give money to my wife. I said, Lord, why? And then again, he brought that scripture. Like Paul said, the husband to the wife is like Christ to the church. He says, you're a leader. If people see you blessing your wife, that's a prophetic picture of what I want to do to them. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, I blessed her. And, of course, she really thought I heard from God then. She goes, you're a man of God. We laughed about that. Then she said, go pray and see how much he wants you to give me. So every so often, I mean, she always has access. Our money's together. Our bills, our credit's good. God has really blessed us. You can be blessed, but if you're not a good steward and you don't budget, if you misappropriate funds, finances and communication are two of the biggest problems in marriages. When a woman feels there's not money to feed her kids, take care of herself, man, you know, you can't be blowing it on gambling and sports and all this other stuff. You give to God first, you take care of your family, pay your bills to food and clothes last.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, when she knows that even though our kids are married and we got these beautiful grandbabies, if she's able to do what she wants and bless them, pay for a cheerleader camp or something, man, she feels like the queen.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have this old saying, I'm sure it's here too, happy wife. Happy life.
We like that. And I like that because, you know, when women are not being treated the way they are, there's financial abuse and emotional abuse, whatever, I find that that is where the child voice comes in, because then they have that reactive, they have this hurt and the insecure kind of voice. And the voice, like you so beautifully said about the parent voice, is when you want to control and you sound critical with your spouse, you know, and those voices are, and you need to check yourself. You know, what voice am I speaking with today? Am I, you know, and if you have that, one of the voices that shouldn't be there, get back to who you really are. Be your unique self and be the man or the woman that God has called you. The adult voice is the one that is calm, the one that is respectful and reconciling, the one that always wants to make peace, the one that wants to bring restoration where there's been havoc and discord. So the hidden rejection and the pain that you spoke about earlier, there's also the unforgiveness and all of those hidden things. You know, when men don't do what they do, wives, women seem to go into a cocoon and they just want to go and huddle there. You know, so it also creates striving. Nothing wants to be more something. The striving is everyone wanting to be something, you know, and that marriage impact that happens there, like you said, the miscommunication is often rooted in unhealed places. And I really would like you just to speak briefly on that unhealed places before we go into the next song break.
Well, what we're looking at is once we begin to talk in the, now it can go both ways. You can have very dominating, controlling women that abuse men, speak to them. So this is not gender pointed, you know, orientated here. It can go either way. And so hurt people have the ability to hurt people. And whenever you've got hurt as a child or in a situation, your brain freezes with that picture of what happened. Now, as you get older, you go back to your brain when something happens. Mm-hmm. It'll pull and say, this is a similar situation. This is how people responded to me then. This is how I'm going to respond now. And so we've got to let the past go. Because, see, the devil's not only a liar, he's a legalist. He's the covenant breaker. He wants to break your covenant. He wants to break the situation that's going on in your life. He wants to cause confusion. So what we got to do is, if we can keep Christ the center of our marriage, what am I doing to help my wife become who God truly wants her to be?
Yeah.
What's the freedom that I'm giving her?
We're going to be right back, Dr. Brian. We're going to speak about that freedom in 2 minutes. We're going to break for a song break with Matt Maher singing the Lord's Prayer. And we ride back. I'm so thrilled, you know, Dr. Brian, you're really giving some good nuggets for the couples to really think about and process things and maybe just have the conversation with one another, an adult conversation, go into an adult tone, because, you know, healing the inner child is that that's you need to silence that critic that is always the way to go and show up as an adult partner that God called you to be for your spouse. So, Dr. Brian, you were ending off with hurt people. Do you want to just
hurt people
go back?
I used to say hurt people, abuse people. And I was preaching at a rehab one time, and a guy sent me a letter. He goes, I like your statement, but it's not totally true. So I thought, oh, what's the guy going to say? And he said, hurt people have the capability to hurt people, but you can choose not to. And I said, I received that correction. So just because you've been hurt, don't use that as an excuse. Quit being a victim. As a child, I was sexually abused, verbally abused, beat with 2x4s by a wicked stepfather. But that's not my identity. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. I'm the righteousness of God. I used to be a drug addict and an alcoholic, but I'm not a recovering alcoholic or drug. I'm a brand new creation. Get out of the past, forgetting all things. Sit down and be mature with one another, because marriage is about giving, not just receiving. Both partners need to meet each other's needs emotionally, physically, and spiritually. God, because see, God calls marriage honorable and the marriage bed pure. But my friends, adultery, immorality destroys trust and bring judgment. So if you're listening today and you're just like, you know, we're thinking about getting married, we're engaged, sit down and talk about how you're going to handle the money. Joint accounts, both have authority to speak. What am I allowed to do? Am I able to keep same friends, old friends? You know, one of the things I see people do is with this young generation, the women will have some guy friends. They're like, I don't want to keep him. You're married. You can't keep guy friends. He ain't your friend just because you're a nice person. Men are always up to something. Yeah. Guys, the same thing. You can't keep the old girls. If you do it together with each other, one thing, but not texting. You know, I have people try to text me all the time, the opposite sex, and I just block them because I'm like, there's no reason. I'm not going to minister to you separately and alone. So we need to make sure this is something a lot of people wouldn't want to do. I go to my wife and to my oldest, our oldest one, and I'll say, I want you to email me, write down five things that I could do to be a better husband, a better minister, a better father. And, the oldest boy, he gives me some pretty wise stuff and everything else. I have to get out the first aid kit when my wife saw it. She goes for the juggler. And I'm like, girl. But I asked for it because, you know what, we have blind spots.
Yeah.
I want to be, I want my wife to be able to say, when someone says, how are you and your husband? I want her to say, he treats me like a queen. He doesn't control me. All my needs are provided. All I got to do is pick up the phone and call him if there's a problem. And if he's, even though I travel the world, I will call someone, have that situation taken care of right now. Because the husband to the wife is like Christ to the church. Christ doesn't control me, dominate me. He doesn't want a robot. He wants a willing worship, a willing gratitude, and willing love given to him. So husbands, I come from an era where they called it macho. You know, I thought it'd be macho. I rode a Harley, I wear leather jackets, used to be an undercover narcotic officer. I was in the Marine Corps. And one day the Lord said, there is no holiness in macho. Quit being macho and be a godly man.
Yeah.
And a godly man loves, forgives, and serves.
Yeah, that's beautiful, you know, and I like what you said there. I just want to quickly go to some of the comments from Facebook page there. We have Deslene Daniels is saying, so true, Dr. Brian, you were speaking about that particular part on hurt people and that particular segment. And then, of course, Comanita with big smiley faces, Dr. Brian, hello. So, yeah, I think we're all looking forward to you coming out to all the different locations we're going to be in Cape Town during your stay, which we'll touch on in a few minutes. But I like that description in James 1:19:6, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And I think that is the key, basically, to keep your marriage going, you know, to be safe and to just make sure everything, there's harmony in the home, you know, because so many times a husband says something, the wife wants to speak over him and they speak over each other. And like Dr. Brian said earlier, this is not based on any particular agenda, you know, it's we speaking for everyone here, men and women at the same time. So the Bible says also in Romans 8:15 that we have not received the spirit of slavery, but adoption. And let that be your go-to place today, because in this particular segment, we're speaking about that place. You heard Dr. Brian's testimony, and you said, Dr. Brian, so beautifully that you've been through all of those things, but that's not who you are. It's not your identity. You are a victor, and we need to operate from a place of victory, not for victory or fighting for it, because we've already overcome. And for someone out there who's listening, you know, talking about restoration and reconciliation, what if God's plan for your marriage isn't perfect, but restoration?
It'll start with restoration, but marriage is a covenant relationship, and it's designed to glorify God and to bless humanity. If someone visits your house or watches you in church, are they going to say, man, I want what they got. I want my husband to treat me like that guy treats her, vice versa, the woman to the man. I see the presence of God. I feel the presence of God. They're so kind. They're so forgiving. See, when you're always getting offended, that's a sign of immaturity. That's a sign you're wounded. Because, see, if you have scars, I got scars because a lot of bad things were done to me. But scars are not just proof that I've been hurt. They're proof I've been healed. Some of you don't have scars. You have open wounds. Go to the presence of the Lord. Allow him to heal those wounds. Find scriptures on those areas. Let your helpmate help you. Men, it's time that we just humble ourselves and go and say, I'm sorry, I speak to you in a child, in a parent voice. I disrespect you. I'm not giving you this or that. And you know what? The more liberty that I give my wife, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. With the Spirit of the Lord is there's liberty. So if I'm imitating Christ, there should be liberty in my house. She has the permission and the right to tell me when she doesn't agree with me. And when I'm doing something wrong, I would rather be told at home so I can get it fixed. She'll say something like, man, that girl's heard from God. I do that. And it starts to aggravate my flesh, but I pull my thoughts captive and say, that's my helpmate, not my hurt mate.
I like that. I love it when you said that part about give me five things that you think I can improve about. I think that is actually a good go-to place for everyone today. Ask your spouse, you know, what is it that I can improve in? You know, it's not a place of criticism. And take to heart what they're saying, because if you marry to someone, I believe they should bring out the best in you. And this is basically what we're saying here today. Let them help you bring out or make you even better than what you are. You know, we can all elevate and increase and just grow and promote, be promoted in the kingdom by just humbly submitting to that which others see in us. You know, because the thing is, I like that line in Romans 14:23. It says, what is not faith is sin. Marriages collapse when control replaces faith. And you said it so beautifully early on, you know. You don't want to lord over your wife and say this, that, and the other. You know, we all switch, we all change in life, and you don't want your spouse to be stressed or depressed by using that, choosing faith over fear. You need to make sure that you are being that person that is going to complement and not compete, because a lot of couples, especially in ministry, want to compete, you know, and in ministry, we're not there to compete, but complete each other. So when God created man and woman, he didn't do a copy and paste. I like that one version. He didn't do a copy and paste of Adam and say, oh, Adam, I'm going to do another one of you. Bang, here you are. His unique design. He's the eyewitness to everything. He gave us the strength and gave us perspective. So together, we must reflect the fullness of God and his image, as he said in Genesis 1:27. So marriage, Dr. Brian, my take is marriage is not a duel. Marriage is not always meant to be a duel. It's a duet. It's two people coming together. You know, where one is weak, the other one brings strength. And you so beautifully said that. You need to be there. As Christ is for the church, you need to be there for your wife.
I'm the covering of my family. And if somebody in the family was going to start doing something sin, or if someone comes in, tries sin against them, I put a stop to it. I don't do it in a parent voice, but it's say, that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Now, I've got my spouse, my wife, Karen, she so beautifully knows the Word. She's a teacher. Now, I always jokingly say, people say, why don't you take her with you? I'll be like, well, if I did, and she got up to speak, you'd invite her back and not invite me back. And I'm not kidding, because she is the most phenomenal fivefold revelatory teacher. She's a teacher now. I'm a preacher, breakthrough, pray for the sick type guy.
Yeah.
But someone said, what if her ministry would get bigger than yours? I said, I'll work her book table and I'll charge her to work that book table. And I laugh because, you know what? The better my wife looks, the better it makes me look, because I'm the head of the garden that God has placed me in. And the fruits that are growing. Remember, even the tree of good and evil that they weren't supposed to eat from, it said the fruit looked good to eat. Now, we're supposed to grow the fruit of the Spirit. A lot of times we find ourselves shoving our fruit down people's throat. I don't want to be a preacher that shoves stuff down people's throat. Mm-hmm. I want my fruit to look so good that people come and say, I want some of that.
Amen, amen. And we all want some of that, the good fruit. We're going to listen to a song by Michael W. Smith and family. We'll be right back. Remember, the WhatsApp number is 081-729-1657. And for those of you who would like to phone in to get some counseling or get some guidance in that, we're going to listen to Michael W. Smith called Revolution. Well, family, we've come to that time of the show where we're nearly closing up, and Dr. Brian has given such beautiful nuggets, and Deslene was saying, love mate and not hurt mate. Great way of seeing things. I love that comments coming in from our Facebook page. And then also, Dr. Brian, you spoke about so many things about the restoration and reconciliation, also how you came into the marriage with that brokenness, but God restored you and you're operating from a place of victory. Could you just pray for the couples out there that are still battling with getting into their groove, getting into that place where God has called them?
Well, remember, when you're hurt, you're very protective. You become paranoid, and then you'll become controlling. Hurt and fear always grow control, and God's not into control. When couples pray together, their unity brings power. Strife and dishonor can hinder prayer. So Jesus said, the kingdom is within you, peace, righteousness, and joy. Every place you go, he told his disciples, release your peace. Your home should be a place of peace, not where your children are hearing you fighting, disagreeing. You're going to have disagreements, but don't do it in front of your children. So right now, forgive one another. Decide that you brought baggage into the marriage from a previous marriage or relationship. Get rid of that baggage. forgive and forgetting all things of the past, pressing toward the mark and the high calling of Jesus Christ. Right now I pray for you. I break every covenant-breaking spirit, every Jezebel, witchcraft, curse, spell, incantation, you controlling spirit of fear, I break your power right now. You loose these marriages. Let this be couples coming to unity. Psalms 133, where there's unity, he commands, not just blessing, but commands blessing. Blessings can be stricken by the devil, but commanded blessings can't be stopped. But it only comes when it's unity. And even if you say, there's some things I can't agree on, agree to disagree, and that brings you back in unity.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, family. We appreciate you being online and just share the broadcast with those who need this. We'll be back with you next week, and we're going to go out today with power, listening to Crystal Webb, Destined for Greatness. And so are you all, destined for greatness. Bye now. Thank you, Dr. Brian. Bye.
See you later.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.